Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
I say that so helplessly, but like, I feel like
it. Desperate sound in your voice.
Yeah. I am.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, and we are delighted to be joined by Jason Wilde. You can hear him weekdays 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, how's it going?
Delighted.
Delighted.
Delighted. I like that better than thrilled, because I don't think Jim's actually thrilled to be joined by me.
Thrilled! We're thrilled! Doesn't that sound like him?
Yeah, it did. That's a very good Jim. Your Jim is on point, almost like my... Mark! Tauscher here to tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Rubbish!
Jason, the annual NFL meetings are happening down in Florida. I'm curious, have you ever been to those before?
Yeah, 20 of them. Yeah, my first 20 years covering the team, I went. And now I would like to eventually get back there. And I actually went even a couple of years after the girls came along, before they were involved in like sports and stuff. I told the story. I'm sure you guys heard this. Maybe I said it on this show. I do so many appearances, I can't always remember. But of Virginia McCaskey holding Maddie when she was a baby. So, you know, we went a few years down there. I have not been there for probably the past 5 or 6. But yeah, it's the breakfasts are great. I don't know about gold medalist Matt Hamilton, who obviously likes to rub elbows with the rich and shameless. But these are held at these really hoity-toity, fancy-schmancy resorts, like the Breakers in Palm Beach is the one they're at today for this one. I've been to the the Arizona Biltmore, which I actually stayed at once because they didn't have enough room at the Sheraton that I'd booked a hotel at. And there, we could send you to our sister hotel. I'm like, sure, you know, whatever, that's fine. It's the Biltmore. Okay. I mean, it is, I am not cut out. I am so glad I'm not rich. Like, I'd like to have a little bit more money, but I don't want to be this kind. I just think it's hard to find good, down-to-earth, really wealthy people. So I do enjoy going to that. I wish I was there today because I would have liked to have asked Matt LaFleur some questions at breakfast, but I got great buddies that cover the team, and they were nice enough to send me the audio so I could transcribe a portion of the session and then write off of it for channel3000.com. So I'm happy to be here instead with you two and Wooly.
Well, I'm glad you said you have buddies that are feeding you some news and information, because I have some questions about things said down there, and I guess I could use your interpretation. When they say that they're going to table something like this tush push ban, is that mean it's like kind of split? Like some people are in favor and some are against it. They're still debating it, or it didn't feel like it had enough traction. So somebody was like filibustering. Like what is the jargon by table this tush push ban?
Did you watch the news or something and see Cory Booker doing this thing that you'd decided to drop a filibustering on me? Is that what you did there?
He watched Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, actually, I think. Is that where you pulled that out of?
Am I not allowed to know the word filibustering?
I just didn't see that coming, that's all.
Good, I want to keep you on your toes.
And you do. I think I saw this from Kaylin Kaler, who is very big on this tush push story. I've known her for a long time. She's a really good reporter and writer, but she went to ESPN, and I don't know if she's like their official tush push correspondent or what, but she has had some inside sources inside the room giving her some information, and apparently it was 16-16 the voting.
Oh.
And there's only 32 teams, so that would be split right down the middle. Mm-hmm. I do math very well.
Take that for data.
So, they don't want to vote on it if they can't get a consensus. And so they tabled it. But that's different than just saying, all right, we're done with it. They have another meeting in May that's not as heavily attended by the media, but NFL Network will be there, and I'm sure they'll have more discussions. I don't think this is the one where the GMs and the head coaches come. The other ones, they don't. Like, maybe Mark Murphy will go to that one, but that'll be it. And so they'll have more debates and more discussion. But, yes, that has been tabled. I thought it was interesting, too, that they didn't just dismiss out of hand the idea of reseeding for the playoffs. And if you have a better record as a wild card team than you do as a division winner, then you could get a home game. That was one of the two proposals that the Lions put forth. The other one was that defensive holding mm-hmm. or illegal contact should not be a automatic first down, which is so self-serving because those guys commit that penalty all the time with the way they play defense. But they didn't say, no, we're not going to reseed for the playoffs. They at least tabled that, so there's going to be more discussion of that as well.
How do you feel about the reseeding of the playoffs?
I hate it.
Thank you.
Really?
I do too.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you have to make the regular season and the division matchups mean something, because you only play 17 or soon to be 18 games, and it's already problematic enough that, like, let's be honest about the Packers, right? Like, they played in their division, they went 1-5, they were a fingertip away from going 0-6, and still finishing, I guess it would have been, what, 10-7 then, because their only other mm-hmm. loss was the Eagles. But they also benefited, right? Like, the AFC South stinks. What was the other division that they played? Was it the NFC East? No, it would have been the NFC West.
West wasn't
good. And the 49ers were down. Obviously, Arizona seems like they're always down. They beat the Rams when the Rams didn't have Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp. Like, you know, I understand the idea of, well, it's not really fair. Like, if you play in a bad division like the Patriots did for such a long time, you're an advantage. That's true. You're going to pile up wins. But I just, there's no other way to do it. Like, the league is too big for you to play like everyone wants, right? Like, it's kind of like the Big Ten basketball. Like, when I was in college many moons ago, like, you played home and home against everybody, because there was enough, you know, that mm-hmm. there were few enough members. And so this idea of, oh, yeah, well, what quality of a record is one division where three teams have all that success? How do you think they had that success? They had it because they lucked out and played other bad divisions. So the idea that the second best team might be better than a team that won their division that might have had a tougher schedule, I'm not on board with that. I think that's a self-serving maneuver to try and improve your playoff chances as well.
And they already reseed. You know what I mean? They already reseed based on opponents. So if a low seed comes out of the wild card,
right,
you have to play. Like, they already got their reseeding out of it. Now they want home field advantage. Like, the whole point of winning your division is home field advantage in the playoffs.
But am I misinterpreting this or misunderstanding this? Tell me if I'm wrong. But, like, the Minnesota Vikings last year, they finished their season 14-3. That's the same record that the Eagles had at 14-3. So then mm-hmm. last year in the NFC, it would have been Lions at 15-2, Eagles at 14-3. Then it could have been the Minnesota Vikings at 14-3, because then the next best team is 10-7 and the Buccaneers and the Rams. Like, mm-hmm. like as much as I hate the Vikings, dislike them with all my being, like, they are better than both of those two teams.
So you're going to say, go ahead, Willie. This is your segment.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Matt.
See, I'm just riled up by it.
It's your world. We're just living in it.
But here's, all right. So, and I looked this up while you two were bantering. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that. The Minnesota Vikings, who did go 14-3, their strength of victory, okay, the wins, was against a combined winning percentage of 408, and their strength of schedule was a combined winning percentage of 474. Okay, the Rams, their strength of victory was 441, so it was 30 percentage, almost 30 percentage points higher, or more than 30 percentage points higher. And their strength of schedule was 505, which, again, is 30 points higher than Minnesota's. So you're telling me, because they played different teams, right? They played a different, they played their own division. Mm-hmm. They played, they matched up with different divisions. Based on this, Minnesota's 14-3. They should have a 14-3 record. They played a weaker schedule. So my point, and this is, thank you for helping me prove my point, Molly. Because
you're welcome.
My point is
you got
is that
gymmed.
You could get totally into the weeds on all of this, right? And suddenly then we're on the verge of that ridiculousness that Kirk Herbstreit said about the college football playoff, right? That we're paying too close attention to records. What? We're going to choose teams instead because, well, we think the quality of these wins is better than the quality of this, or they have a better record. So even though they didn't win their division, they should like look. This is how. This is one of the things they don't need to change. They have plenty of other things that they're working on changing. Sometimes they shouldn't. Sometimes they should. They're going to add an 18th game. I personally believe that they don't need to do this just because one division, one year, had three teams make the playoffs. And there was also the year where, was it Seattle finished 7-9, won the West, and then won a home playoff game. And that everybody was up in arms. This doesn't happen frequently enough that this needs to be changed. That's my take.
Well, I mean, I honestly believe if you get rid of this and you seed teams higher that don't win the division, you might as well just get rid of divisions. Just have your two conferences and just top seven records. And that now that rivalry that was built between the Packers, the Lions, and the Minnesota Vikings, you might as well just throw all that tradition out the window. Because what's the point?
Interesting.
If it doesn't mean anything to win that division.
We're talking
absolutely ridiculous.
Utterly preposterous. We are talking with
utterly preposterous that I've even heard that.
And you can tell Rutledge that. Why do I know the whole thing?
The whole quote.
So you can tell Rutledge that.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We're talking with Jason Wilde of Wilde and Touch. You can hear him weekdays 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, I'm curious about what do you think about Brian Gutekunst's comments earlier today about the pass rush. And basically what I got out of it is he's saying that the pass rush is good enough. It's good enough where it's at. Do you think this is just him having pride in his picks again? Or what are your thoughts?
I think it's CYA. Or he really believes it. Or both, right? Like, because here's the thing. At this point, having not added anyone, what's he supposed to say? Oh, my God. Yeah, you guys are right. I can't believe I didn't add anybody as a pass rusher. These guys are stiffs. Like, we got no chance now, right? I mean, which we could say that on the show, but he can't say that. And look, they have invested heavily in that position. I mean, they got four first-round picks right now as part of their rotation, right? Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, and Devontae Wyatt. So part of him probably has to think too. They better be good enough. In a new system, they better be good enough. Mm-hmm. Because if not, what the hell am I doing here, spending this many draft picks on a position that still isn't good enough? But the fact of the matter is, it's not good enough. It just isn't. They have not. I don't buy the excuse of it's a new system. I don't buy that. Yes, for the first few weeks or maybe in the first few months, I'll let you get away with that. But you are first round picks. We saw what a difference it makes for teams, whether it's going back to the 2000s and the New York Giants with Justin Tuck and Strahan and that crew, or we go to this year with the Eagles and that front four getting pressure without having to send blitzes. It is such a valuable thing to have talent and productivity from that group so you don't have to blitz. And you spent all these draft picks on guys, and they didn't get it done. So the idea of, you know, crossing your fingers and hoping that they'll be better this year and that you believe in them, that's great. And maybe he will be proven right, but I also won't be surprised if number 23 arrives and they select an edge rusher and yet another defensive line player as their first-round pick.
That would just be icing. Jason, that would make me so happy for Goody.
What if it's a tackle? That's the other part of this. Mm-hmm. Like, what if the best value pick is a tackle?
I mean, is
he going to do that?
I don't hate that. Just out of the ideas, like, Josh Jacobs was our bell cow last year. He was the guy who made the offense tick. Give him every, and obviously in Jordan Love, give them every advantage they could possibly get. Because we know for sure Goody's going to go somewhere into the trenches. I don't see him getting a cornerback first. I don't see him getting a wide receiver first. It's a lineman. I'm not sure what side of the ball.
I would argue that they have enough needs. And I personally don't think they should invest a first-round pick in an offensive lineman. I've been around too long. There's been too many. Like, we love Brian Bulaga. He's a great teammate of ours at ESPN Wisconsin. But that was great that they picked him. He turned out to be a really, really good player. But I can go down the list of Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, David Bakhtiari, Corey Linsley. Like, the list goes on and on. Look, Zach Tom was a fourth-round pick. God, Rashid Walker was a seventh-round pick. Like, if you draft and develop those guys and you do it right, you can have a really good offensive line without heavy investment. And they made a heavy investment last year in Jordan Morgan, and he never even really challenged Rashid Walker for the left tackle job. So now to come out and say basically, yeah, it's an open competition, I'm super curious to see how this plays out, and it's not my job to root for people. And I didn't talk very frequently with Jordan Morgan. He seems like a really good kid, but like, if you make me pick somebody to root for, I'm going to pick the seventh round pick who has played. No, he's not Joe Thomas, but the guy's played pretty well, at least respectably, if not pretty well. And to suggest that now, you know, he's going to have to fight for his job. I understand competition makes everybody better, but if I was Rashid Walker, I would be supremely motivated to say, I'm going to shove it up your you-know-what, and then I'm going to get a big contract from somebody else, and you can play this guy next year in 2026 because I'm not letting him take my job.
Okay!
Jason, we're looking forward to hearing you talk more about everything that's coming out of Florida on Wildy and Tosh tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.
It was truly my pleasure.
Thank you. We were delighted to have you. We appreciate you.
I was thrilled. Yeah. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That was Jason Wilde. You can hear him weekdays from 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin. Hey, all you sports bettors, if you aren't making your wagers at Potawatomi Casino Hotel in Milwaukee, you're missing out on an elite experience. Honestly, it's a complete sports betting paradise. I was there for the analysis this past weekend. Holy moly, the sports book, beautiful. My goodness, there every single game that you could even imagine was on all the TVs. 2,000 square foot video wall, insane. And if you're short on time, they have free 20-minute reserve structure parking. And a major move for all sports bettors out there, you can now use your Potawatomi rewards card at most self-service kiosks and the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports and earn rewards points along the way. Now that's a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
We don't speak about
speak
her.
About rivals.
We are not rivals. Yep, me and Kay are not on the same level. In the same sense that Matt thinks that the Bears and the Packers aren't on the same level.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.